Four short years. Yeah, okay, good. I hope you say 4 long years. No. But they've been a blessing to our church these 4 years. And we appreciate y'all's ministry here very much. So you take time today to go by and tell them how much you appreciate their ministry here and the songs as we're just led into God's presence through the singing and through the sharing of these songs today. As you see, here at Lane Prairie Baptist Church, we do the Lord's Supper. We focus the whole service on that, about the blood. We don't just tack it on to the end of the service. The Bible says, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. That's what Jesus said. Didn't say how often to do it. Some churches do it every Sunday. And I believe if you did it every Sunday, I'll be honest, I think it would become just commonplace. It would become a ritual where you would just go through the motions. We do it here every 2 months, but we surround the whole service about it. I preach on it, and we try to make it a very meaningful experience. Brother Jake texted me last night, and he said, hey, praying for you for the day, and I told him, I'm praying that today would not just be another day of taking the Lord's Supper. I pray that every one of us would know that we've come to this table because we're invited to the table by the Lord. By the way, this isn't our supper, it's His supper. That's the reason it's called the Lord's Supper. And it was a time that He called His disciples together in the evening before His crucifixion. The night before He was to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, that time, he arranged for them to borrow an upper room where He would host His disciples. And if you read the account of the scripture, what He did, the first thing He did when they arrived, He washed their feet in John 13. Think about that. He demonstrated to them what He wanted them to be, servants. And by the way, He wants us to be servants too. But then He shared some words with them that were so powerful. If you have a chance this week, I want you to go back and read John chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. And then 17 is His great intercessory prayer. And those are the verses that He's trying to, the words, His farewell words to His disciples as He's trying to challenge them to be different. He's trying to challenge them to understand that God has prepared a place for us. It's a place called heaven in John 14. And then He says, hey, listen, I want you to know that God has a plan for your life and He wants to work. But He goes on and says, but when I leave, I'm going to pray to the Father and He's going to give you another comforter. Now, the word another there is the word Greek word alos, which means another of the same kind. Just like He had comforted His disciples, He said, I'm praying that you'll receive another comforter like me. And by the way, we know who that comforter was, the Paraclete. His name was the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But you and I are gathering together around this table. As Jesus gathered around the table with His disciples, He reminds them of what He wanted them to do. He reminds them of their service, but He also reminds them that He's starting a new time, a new season for them, a new covenant. What is that going to be? Well, they thought they were going to go to that upper room and they were going to partake of the Passover. They were going to partake of the Passover, and it's a time they remembered when the death angel passed over the houses that were covered in the blood in Exodus chapter 12. And they thought they were going to do that, but guess what? Jesus had something else planned for them. What He had planned for them, He reminded them that He is inviting them to Himself. He talks about the body and He talks about the blood. And He reminds them that He invites us. We are invited guests this morning, folks. And as we enter into this time, we want to understand that we do this in remembrance of Him. Now, don't forget that. You see the front of that table there? If you've ever read the front of the table, it says, in remembrance of me. Some of the tables will have this do in remembrance of me. That's what he wants us to do in remembrance of me. That's an interesting word, by the way. That word remembrance, it's the Greek word that means to call back our memories of an experience and to do it again and again and again. In other words, we're to remember as we gather around this table what Jesus did for us as his body was broken and bruised and beaten by terrible people. He wants us to understand. He wants us to remember the price he paid at Calvary, but he also wants us to remember the blood that was shed there at Calvary that we could have forgiveness of our sins. This do in remembrance of me. By the way, when's the last time you called to remembrance what Jesus did for you? May I tell you something? It isn't something we do every 2 months. It's something we ought to do every day. This do in remembrance of me. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is dealing with the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth had had so many problems, and they were even having trouble when it came to the Lord's Supper. And he's wanting them to remind them that they're to do this in remembrance of him. By the way, may I tell you, that word remembrance is only used 4 times in the New Testament Greek. It's used twice here in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. You see, he says, is off in verse 24, the last part, this do in remembrance of me. And he says, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. It's also used in Luke 22, again, where Jesus is meeting with his disciples there in Luke 22, verse 19. He says, this do in remembrance of me. But then it's also used in Hebrews 10:3, reminding them that what Jesus did. And they're to remember the things that he has done for us. And by the way, in Hebrews, they were reminding them of the Old Testament sacrifices. They were to remind them as a remembrance of their sins. But may I tell you something? Those Old Testament sacrifices had to take place day after day, year after year. The high priest would go into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of the people. His work was never done. But I've got good news today. When Jesus went into that holy place, when he went to the cross, he died once for all. His blood was sufficient. He had an innocent blood. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May I tell you, he paid the ultimate price. But may I tell you also, he expects no less of us. Are we giving him our very best? As we enter a new year in 2019, are we giving the Lord our very best, church? Are we giving him our very best in worship, in service, in giving, faithful to the church? Are we giving him our very best? By the way, he gave us his very best, amen? He gave his very life for us. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 21, 23 of chapter 11 of the 1 Corinthians 11. Look at it. For I received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Basically, what's happening in the church at Corinth is they were turning the Lord's Supper into a drunken feast. And they were gathering together and they were having a celebration. It wasn't about Jesus, it's about themselves. So the Apostle Paul says, I have received this of the Lord. As we remember him, first of all, may I tell you today, the Lord's Supper is an expression. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. What are we expressing? Well, we're trying to express, we're to remember, first of all, his body that was broken for us. In a few moments, whenever we partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to give you some verses to read. A lot of times during that time, I know we meditate, but I know maybe our mind wanders off during that time. I'm going to give you some verses to read because those verses are going to tell you what they did to the body of Jesus. He went through the scourging post where they'd strip him down his back and they'd put his arms over his head and there'd be one Roman soldier here, one Roman soldier there. They had this whip made of sharpened pieces of iron and sharpened pieces of bone, and they would literally whip them 39 times, and every time they whipped them, another layer of skin would come off. Many a person would come off the scourging post with being disemboweled. They didn't live past that point, but Jesus did, because he was God, and God had a plan for us. And then he goes on and talks about how they spat upon him. And they beat him with rods. They put a crown of thorns on his head until they, and by the way, those crown of thorns, those thorns were about that big thorns. When they put it down, it would just go into the skin and blood would come forth. They took him to an old rugged cross and they nailed his hands and his feet on that cross. Literally, I've told you this before, for Jesus to take a breath, he'd have to pull himself up by the nails, take a breath, and come back down. May I remind us today, if we do this in remembrance of him, it is an expression. It's an expression of how he loved us, folks. May I tell you about the blood, though? We remember the body, but the blood, may I tell you, it was innocent blood. He knew no sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. It's redemptive blood. That's the reason Ephesians, Paul writes to them, it says, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, by the blood. Ephesians 1:7. He reminds us that the blood is powerful. It says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Did I tell you the blood is what covered them in the Passover, as they put that blood over the lintels and posts of the door? And may I tell you, the blood that covered them is the blood that covers you and I today. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It's powerful enough to deliver people from sin and from Satan and from their self. May I tell you, that's what the Lord did for us. We must remember the body. It's an expression. He says there in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We're expressing, catch this, our love for Jesus. Do you tell the Lord you love him? If you're listening to his voice, he's telling you all the time he loves you. But see, he didn't do it just with lip service. He demonstrated it with his own life. May I tell you, listen to me today, no one took his life. He could have called 10,000 angels. He voluntarily laid down his life for us, folks, that we could have life eternal. We must remember him. The Lord's Supper is an expression, but also, secondly, the Lord's Supper is an explanation. Notice what he says there in verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." May I tell you that this is not a ritual that we do? There are two ordinances in the church, and we believe and teach neither one of them have saving power. One is the ordinance of baptism. Once someone has genuinely met the Lord, they've been saved, the first act of obedience is baptism. They do it out of the command of the Lord. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We do it because we follow his command. We follow his example as he is baptized by John the Baptist. And the early church, every time someone met the Lord, they were baptized. And that demonstrated to us, when someone's lowered into the water, it's showing, it's symbolic of the death and burial of Jesus. When they're raised up out of the water, it's symbolic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're saying, "I'm burying the old person, I'm raising the new person to walk in newness of life in the Lord." Romans 6:4. Boy, it's a beautiful picture, amen? Symbolic. But not only that, may I tell you, the Lord's Supper is also symbolic. We believe and teach they do not have saving power, but they're symbolic of what the Lord's done. We partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering his body in the bread that you take. We remember his blood in the cup that you take, that were given for us that we could have eternal life. May I tell you, it's the greatest gift of all. Eternal life, it's forever. It isn't for a week. It isn't for a month. It isn't for a year. When you got saved, if you were genuinely saved, I'll tell you that because I think some people have a head knowledge, but they don't have a heart experience. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They maybe made a decision back when they were 10 or 9 or 8 years old, but they left the church and they were not different. They still lived the same life. They did not have any fruit. The Bible says, "By their fruit you shall know them." I'm going to tell you today, if you don't have that fruit, you need to get saved. You need to be born again. It's the greatest decision anyone would make. But it says we do show. Interesting, that word there, show. It means to tell or explain. We do show the Lord's death till he come. We show that we have been delivered by the power of God. Aren't you glad we have, folks? The Lord's Supper is expression. It's also an explanation. But may I say, thirdly, the Lord's Supper is a word of exaltation. It says, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. You see it there? Look at verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. See, the cross is not an accident. It was on purpose. He willingly, as I said earlier, and voluntarily, he laid down his life. In fact, in John 10, 17 and 18, in 17 he says, "I lay down my life." In verse 18 he says, "No man taketh my life from me." God the Son laid down his life. He left heaven's glory. Philippians 2 said that he left the praise of angels and he came and humbled himself even to the point of death, church. We give thanks. When we pray, we give thanks for what God's done for us. By the way, that's an interesting word, by the way. That Greek word is used several places in the scripture. Euristio is the Greek word there. It means to be grateful, to give thanks. You remember over in the scripture in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus fed 4,000 men. By the way, this isn't the same story as the feeding of the 5,000 men. But it says that Jesus took those 7 loaves and fishes and he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. And what did he do? They passed out and they fed 4,000 men, not counting women and children, and there were 7 basketfuls left over. The same Greek word there. He gave thanks. He blessed it. In John 6, when he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there were 12 baskets left over. By the way, those two Greek words are different Greek words. The one with 7 baskets, these were larger baskets. The one with 12, they were smaller baskets, but there was one for every disciple, reminding them that God can meet your needs. It's the same Greek word that's used in Luke 17. You remember whenever the lepers were healed? But there was only one that turned back, and he came and fell at the feet of Jesus, and he gave thanks, church. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 5:20, you'll be giving thanks always for all things. The same Greek word is used. May I tell you that a part of the Lord's Supper, we give a word of exaltation. We ought to be giving thanks for what God's done for us. Are you thankful today for your salvation? Well, some of you kind of not sure about that. I'm going to tell you what, that ought to make you excited every time you think of the day you got saved. By the way, you ought to know about it because you were there when it happened. If you don't know about it, you need to get it right today. But we ought to give thanks. In fact, we shouldn't just give thanks every 2 months. We gather around this table every single day. We're to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done for us, that he laid down his life for us, folks, that we could have life eternal. That's the reason the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking away unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He says, for consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. In other words, unless you give up. There's a lot of Christians giving up today. I want to tell you what, we come to this table, it ought to remind us what the Lord's done for us. It's a time, the Lord's Supper, fourthly, is a time of expectation. He says, notice what he says here. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let that sink in a minute. May I tell you something? He's coming again. He is. He's going to deliver us from all this sickness and sorrow and all of the things that are going on in political realms. He's going to deliver us to a place called heaven. That's the reason in that upper room experience Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we do it in remembrance of him. It's a time of expectation. We ought to be expecting the Lord's coming any day now. Boy, some of you don't get too excited about that. I don't know about you, I'm ready for the first train out. I'm going to take flight. Now I'm looking forward to taking flight because it's going to be glorious. But the last thing I want you to see, the Lord's Supper is an examination. Because look at verse 28. For let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink of the cup. That word examine is the word dokimazo in the Greek language. It means to test, to prove. Let a man put himself on trial. By the way, if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would you have some of your neighbors come and say, hey, I know that person. They're a strong believer. Some of the people you work with, they'd say, oh, I know them. They like to talk about the Lord. They're not ashamed of Jesus. Would there be enough evidence? We are to examine ourselves, folks, and we need to see ourselves as the Lord sees us. As the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know me, and see if there be any wicked way, and lead me in the way everlasting. Today, let's examine. Let the Holy Spirit put the floodlight on our lives. If there's anything of us, by the way, none of us are worthy to take this. But see, I don't take it because I'm worthy. I take it because He's worthy. And I'm getting to heaven not because I'm worthy. I'm getting to heaven because of Him. His righteousness, not mine. My righteousness is but filthy rags. We must remember that. Let's bow our heads as our deacons come. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 27, and I'd like you to read verses 22 through 54. Meditate on those verses. And I want you to think about what Jesus did, what they did to His body for us. And boy, it tells us vividly there in Matthew. Would you read that? And Father, I pray today that this wouldn't be just another time we take the Lord's Supper. I pray as we enter into Your presence now that we would do this in remembrance of You. This isn't about us, Lord. It's about You. We're to focus on You. We're to remember what You did. We're to remember the sacrifice You paid. We're to be declaring what You've done for us, God. May we not be ashamed of what You've done for us. Touch us in this time as we read these texts. May they come alive in our hearts as we see what You did for us. And may we be forever grateful. May we give thanks to You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 27, verses 22 through 54. hold the bread in your hand. This represents the body, symbolic of the body of Jesus. The Bible says he broke it, signifying what he would go through. If you read that text, you would see how they spat on him, how they beat him with rods, how they put a crown of thorns on him, how they scourged him, put him on that scourging post, 39 licks with those whips, how they blindfold him and hit him and said, "Prophesy, who's hitting you?" How they would pass him and mock him as he hung there between heaven and earth for us, church. Isn't it great, though, that last part? When he gave up the ghost, the veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom, meaning that not only does the high priest have entrance into the very presence, into the Shekinah glory of God, every single believer has access to the very presence of God through prayer. Isn't that wonderful? He did that for us. On that night, he took the bread, he broke it, and he blessed it. Brother Terry, would you bless the bread?
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you in remembrance of the Lord's Supper, let us never forget the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. The sacrifice he made where they scourged his body with the whips. Let us remember that he willingly gave up his body for our salvation. Let us not only remember this today, but each and every day, let us give thanks. The thanks for what he did for us, what he does for each and every day, that he gave up his body for our salvation, for us. We were the ones that deserved to be on that cross, but he willingly took it upon himself to be on that cross for us. So in all this we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
He blessed it, he broke it, and he blessed it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, and verses 22 through 28. That same night, he took the cup. As you read in Hebrews 9, it tells us that the blood that was offered, it says, if the blood of bulls and goats and calves could cover their sins, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living of God? Because see, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus went once into that holy place for us. This cup represents the blood that was shed for us. May we never forget the price of our redemption was the innocent blood of Jesus. Think about that a minute. The innocent blood of Jesus, he was the perfect sacrifice that God had for us. On that same night, he took the cup and he blessed it. Brother Ricky, would you bless the cup today?
Father, as we come this morning, as we've gathered around this table and remembered what it is that was done for us, how it's an example for us, how we're proclaiming the truth, Father, we realize that it's the blood that covers us, that washes us and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And so, Father, we're thankful today for the blood that was spilt for us. We don't take it lightly. We don't take it for granted. And Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that was made for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
That night he blessed the cup and he passed it out. He says, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do in remembrance of me. We're going to sing now. It says they sang a hymn and went out. Brother Jake's going to lead us. Would you join us as we sing unto the Lord?
At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed away, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Taken of the Lord's Supper, the Lord invited us to this table, and he tells us that he loves us. He had a demonstrated love. And by the way, that's what he wants of us. Have you demonstrated your love for Jesus? By the way, he loved you enough that he was willing to stretch out his arms and die for you. If you're here today and you have never invited Jesus into your life, or maybe you have just a head knowledge, you know, you believe in Jesus here, but you know he's not here, I want to challenge you to do something today. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask you to step out in the aisle and come take a pastor by the hand. And all you got to do is say, I need Jesus. And we'll sit down here on the front chairs here, and we will share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. You got to realize you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And you got to be willing to repent, turn from your sins, and turn to Jesus. But we'll share that with you today. You feel that tug right now? That's the Holy Spirit. He is Christocentric. He points you to Jesus. There's others here today. The way you demonstrate your love for the Lord is being a part of a local body of believers, joining a local church. Maybe you've been visiting our church for a while, or you've just come for a few times. Maybe you're here for the first time, but the Lord has showed you this is where he wants you to be a part of the church body. We invite you to come and join our church today. And demonstrate your love for the Lord by the joining of yourself to this church, because Christ, the Bible says, loved the church and gave himself for the church. So I invite you to come be a part of our fellowship. Maybe today there's someone who needs to rededicate their life to live for the Lord. Maybe that examination, maybe there's something the Lord showed you. Maybe he showed you in this new year you need to be more faithful to the church, or more faithful to reading your Bible every day, or prayer, or witnessing, or whatever he's called you to do. Answer that call. Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to